This week, the FanCast is back. It's been a few weeks since we've talked to you guys. They had a draft this past week, or a couple days ago. Ben Grant from the X's and Argos is going to help break down the draft because, well, he knows more than us. We're also going to talk to Reed Johnson of the XFL's MarkCast. He's going to let us in on the other side of the CFL-XFL border. And the league has a plan to return to play. And it looks like it's got the green light. It's the Argos FanCast. Joining us, as always, from the Double Blue Order, Sir Douglas of House Ballinger, second of his name, Lord of Section 116, Warden of the South Side, and Protector of the Realm.
Hi, how's it going? It's been a while. You can find me on Twitter at DougB519. You can find my group, The Double Blue Order, on Facebook at facebook.com/Double Blue Order, on Instagram at The Double Blue Order, and on Twitter as well at Double Blue Order.
And, our resident historian from ArgoFans.com, the VP of Football Operations, Will Gertler, MBA, is unfortunately unable to be with us tonight. He is he just received his first dose of the COVID-19 vaccine, and he is resting at home. Does make you a little bit tired. At least that was my experience. I am Clay Chisholm. You can find me at All Kinds of Clay. You can find the Argos FanCast at Argos FanCast on the Twitter machine. And anywhere you find your friendly neighborhood podcast, just search Argos FanCast. Pretty much you find us there. We're anywhere. And you can go to us directly at theargosfancast.podbean.com. Well, the Argos drafted some players, drafted some Canadians. And as we pretty much started doing, we're going to bring in somebody who's a lot more knowledgeable on the history of these players and what they bring to the table. We're going to bring in from the X's and Argos, Ben Grant. He's our go-to guy when we need to know about Canadian players. So let's get him on the line now. Joining us from the X's and Argos podcast, the man who knows probably more information about these players than, or he's probably forgot more information about these players than we will ever know, is Ben Grant. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks so much for having me, guys. I love being on with you and happy to talk some football, especially if it's Argos related.
Absolutely. Now, the Argos had 7 picks and in this draft, and coincidentally, I think they're all Canadian.
Yeah, imagine that.
Now, you know a little bit more about these guys than we do. What did you think of the haul that the Argos got on Tuesday?
Overall, as a group, I really like it. I thought it was weird as the draft was happening. It's such a strange year, right? We have basically almost like a double draft class in the sense that the guys that didn't really get to play as seniors in 2020 are there. And a lot of people deferred last year, hoping to get another opportunity. So you had some schools like UBC where they've got basically 6 linebackers who are eligible to be drafted. You have Calgary where they're looking to have 3 different tackles drafted. It was just such an odd field. And then add to that, there are so many Americans in this draft, many of whom were electing to go back for another year. So it was just a really tough one to prognosticate. And so as the draft was unfolding, I just thought it was bizarre. Guys were going where I just had no idea they were going to go that early and vice versa. But at the end of the day, when you look 1 through 7 at the guys that the Argos have, it's a really nice collection of players. So who cares how they got here? They're here. I'm happy. I think we've got some really nice additions to what was already a pretty strong looking team in my mind.
And one thing that they mentioned on the TSN broadcast was that, you know, if you were going to hand out the Grey Cup based on Canadian talent on paper, you'd hand it to the Argos without question. And when I heard that, normally I'm going into these drafts and thinking, okay, who can we get that can actually make an impact right now? And when you start to hear that, you kind of think like, man, maybe depth is a really great thing for us then. You know, so we could really pick really whoever we wanted.
Yeah, that's the thing. There just weren't going to be that many players in this year's draft class who were going to make an impact in 2021. And Peter Nicastro, the first round selection, is someone that I expect to play this season in some capacity. I don't think he's going to start, but I do think he could possibly be the first man off the bench at center and maybe even guard. So that's probably the only guy, though. And when I look at the rest of the guys drafted, most of this is for next year, for the future, looking down the road, because this year they just don't need that much help. The team is pretty much set.
Especially with that Canadian talent. Now, you mentioned the first pick, Peter Nicastro. Coming out of Calgary, pretty much there you can, chalk them up. They're going to at least get one or two of their old line picked every year. Peter Nicastro, they say, is basically plug and play at any of the interior spots on the offensive line. And he just kind of strikes me as one of those throwback CFL linemen. He's not, super tall. He's 6'2 and 305, but he just kind of, he was, every CFL team used to have like two or three of those guys that just were all they were just everything you could think of for a CFL offensive lineman fit in that box. This seems to be what Peter Nicastro is based on everything I've read about him.
Yeah. And he plays very old school too. He's nasty. He's powerful. Holds his ground so well. He's just a fantastic pass blocker, but he looks like you're watching football in a different era. I love that about him. He's a grinder. He'll get in there and chase you down and, keep hitting you until not necessarily after the whistle, but near the end of the whistle. And I love having a guy like that on my team, but it's not the kind of guy you like to play against.
No. So you go from a guy who's, old school and nasty to Doc Stater, who is just a mass of a human being at 6'7", 350.
Hoss. Utter hoss. That's why I like him.
He's a very large man. And with Doc Stater, he's a tackle, right? So you look at Nicastro, he's definitely looking at the inside. There's no chance of him playing tackle. He's gonna, and actually I think Nicastro is maybe gonna have a better shot at making this team as a center than a guard, because I think he's a fantastic center, and that's something that isn't really getting talked about much. He was mostly getting his play at guard in Calgary, but I think only because he was such a good guard. He would have been their best center, but he was also their best guard. So they're like, well, I guess we'll put him at guard because we've got another center in Spencer Roy. And so, he's definitely on the interior. Doc Stater, he has to be a tackle. He's so large. He's only really played that spot going all the way back to his early high school years. He's been a left tackle. And so he's basically been molded to be that left tackle. Now, I don't think he's going to end up being here this year. It looks like he's been granted a redshirt year, and so he's going to end up going back to New Mexico State for one more season. But there's a really good likelihood that we'll see him in 2022. And at that point, we may be in a left tackle could be a position of need, depending on what happens with the contracts of all the many tackles that we've got on the roster at the moment.
And he's a vegetarian.
Yeah, I heard that, which... It just amazes me, because you often associate vegetarianism and veganism with losing weight and cutting down. And this is not a man who seems interested in any of those things. And yet, he's a vegetarian. Good for him.
Yeah, that blew my mind when I saw that, when I heard that. 6'7", 350, and he's a vegetarian. Imagine how, like, this guy would be like 8'1", 520 pounds if he wasn't a vegetarian. Holy cow.
Eating whole trees.
Eating whole trees, he'd be using those as toothpicks. Now, the other guys we've picked, I mean, other than Saint-Just, I haven't heard really anything of Villeneuve, Neal, Hoyt, or Haggerty. Can you let us know, you know, some information about those guys?
Yeah, for sure. So Luigi Villeneuve, the defensive tackle that we drafted out of Michigan, he's another guy that's not going to be here this season. So he transferred, I think it was back in January, he transferred from Michigan to Wake Forest to get one more season in. And I think he's hoping that that will improve his NFL draft stock. He really didn't have a good last year at Michigan. And so there was just no chance of it working out for him in the NFL this year. But he's hoping that he can get his form back together. There's a lot of promise here. He looked really good in his early time at Michigan. I know he had some injuries and he just never looked the same after that. What I like about him is, as a defensive lineman, and I think he probably still would play defensive end. We so often see guys that are playing in American schools as defensive ends come up here and turn into D tackles. But I think he probably would stay as a D end at 6'4", 244. I'm not sure he's going to get too much bigger than that. I like that he's disciplined. He's a guy that does his job. He can always be counted on. He's not flying in after the quarterback. We've got so many of those guys on our roster right now who are just, you know, hell-bent on getting to the quarterback on every snap. He'll set the edge. He'll force you to keep it inside the pocket, gradually close ground. He's not a bad player against the run. He has been knocked a little bit for some poor tackling, but I think a lot of that actually ties into the injuries that he's suffered. And there's no question that if the right places on your body are hurt, tackling a 220-pound running back just doesn't feel good. And I think that's something that really affected him. But I expect him to be a really good CFL player. I think the NFL is a real long shot for him, but I totally expect him to see him in double blue in 2022. And I think he would have a pretty good shot at finding some time on the field, especially as a Canadian. If we look into the fourth round guys we got, so Tommy Neal is a wide receiver out of McMaster. Nice big target. I actually really like him as a receiver. I kind of think of these last sort of three guys as special teamers, and that's where they'll get time this year if they get any time at all. And so Tommy Neal, he can play special teams, but he was a really good receiver at Mac. He was a really nice target. He sees the ball extremely well, and I know I think he ran a 4.6. He doesn't look like that when you watch him on film. He doesn't look overly fast, but he has this ability to sort of separate late. And the fact that he shows his hands really late, he tracks the ball so well, he's great at high pointing it. It sort of means that he doesn't need the same separation that some of the other guys have. Now, our receiving core is so stacked this year that I don't see Tommy getting on the field at all. Because even some of last year's guys, like Sam Baker, the last pick that we took in last year's draft, like he's an excellent receiver too. There's just so many guys in front of Tommy Neal. So I think if we see him at all, it's going to be specials, but he's a good player. And so if need be, if you needed another Canadian out there, God forbid we have injuries to our Canadian receivers, Tommy Neal is an option. He's not going to look out of place out there. And then the other fourth rounder, Trevor Hoyt, I love this pick. Now, I wasn't sure how much Trevor Hoyt wanted to play football, because I know he's highly into his academics. I believe he's looking at going after an advanced degree. I'd heard that he was looking to go into medical school, actually, but I can't confirm that for you. And so I wasn't sure how invested he was into making a CFL career for himself, but apparently he is. And in that case, I think he could be a really nice player. He played next to Jack Kassar, who we drafted last year out of Carleton. I think the two of them were roommates, actually. And it's funny, you watch Trevor Hoyt's film, and because Sarr stands out so much that you kind of forget about Hoyt, but he does a great job. He's a solid linebacker, not nearly as big as Jack. He's 6'1", 213, I think. But he's a sneaky player, highly intelligent. He disguises what he's doing extremely well. He disguises coverage beautifully, baits quarterbacks into picks. He also catches linemen and quarterbacks off guard with his blitzes. He doesn't give it away. You'll see sometimes quarterbacks walk up and do this sort of, you know, quick fake snap just to see if they can get any movement out of him. He never budges. His blitzes are always a surprise, and that's why he gets to the quarterback so often. So, and just a, another disciplined football player, great tackler, and will be another special teams contributor. I actually think he may make it on teams before Tommy Neal does, just because of his tackling ability. And then in round six, Joshua Haggerty, defensive back out of Saskatchewan, he's probably going to go back to school for another year. He's got that option, and I don't think he's ready yet. He needs to play more football. I think he could be really good. He's another really intelligent player. There's a theme here with the Argos drafting guys that are just off the charts for football IQ, but he needs to play more ball. He really suffered from not having a 2020 season. So I think, you know, he'll come to camp with the Argos and just kind of like we saw with Eric Starzala, you know, we'll probably go back for another year, get some more playing time under his belt at University of Saskatchewan, and then in 2022, see if he can give it a go with the Argos. But there's potential there. And I love the idea of having a Canadian free safety. There's so many other teams that managed to do it. It's a great spot to have a Canadian playing in, and Joshua Haggerty has the potential for that. We'll see what happens with another year in Saskatchewan. And then our very last pick, Benjamin St-Juste, is a lottery ticket. He's a gamble. I don't think there's any chance he ends up playing in Canada. He's a really good corner. But with that last pick, why not gamble? And I think probably of the four guys who were drafted in the NFL, he's probably the most likely to come back, just based on his position, based on the team he went to in Washington. And the fact that, you know, he's not a second round pick, he's a third round pick. So I think there is some possibility that of any of the four that he would come up, but it's still a long shot, I think, at best. But, you know, why not take a chance?
Yeah, well, when you're looking last round, you might as well. It's not if you hit on it, you know, it's great. If you miss, or you can't really do that, you can't really get him up here, you didn't really, you know, waste much at that point then.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I think every team in with their last pick should take a gamble on an NFL sort of futures guy.
Now there were a couple great one-liners that kind of came out of the TSN broadcast, and I wonder if there were any that stuck out to you based on, you know, what we heard from the panel.
I was actually watching the CFP broadcast, so I didn't see the TSN picks. I was seeing what the guys were doing. Connor Wade and Marshall Ferguson were live streaming their own broadcast, and those guys just, they know so much, especially about the guys in the later rounds. And I thought, you know, I'll support these guys and tune in and see what they have to say. But that was funny in its own right, because you guys know Marshall. He's a Hamilton Tiger Cat fan through and through. He does play-by-play for the Ticats. He's from McMaster. And so watching his reaction in the first round when the Tiger Cats opened up by taking a tight end was worth it for me. That was the highlight of the night, because the only thing better than the Argos having a good draft is Hamilton wondering why they picked this guy and why they picked this guy. And so that was the highlight for me, seeing him not only by taking a tight end first overall, but then taking the second best linebacker out of UBC with the last pick that they had in the first round. So those two first rounders were big question marks. So they recovered pretty nicely with the draft, but man, that first round was fun to watch Marshall's face. So that was sort of the highlight of the coverage for me.
I would just have to say, I would be remiss to say, first of all, to say congratulations on getting with CF perspective. I really enjoy their content, and to me, with you on board, they were just even more awesome because there's Argo content on a CFL site. Who'd have thought? So congratulations on getting that, by the way.
Oh, thanks so much. It's so much fun to work with those guys. They love football. They love football, Canadian football at every level. And just to team up with them, you know, here and there, and I'll, you know, write my articles, and I'm still working with xsandargos.com, but you can find my stuff at Canadian Football Perspective too. So it's cool to branch out a little bit, but I felt it was needed because they're very Hamilton Ticats focused. So I thought it would be nice to have a little bit more Argos content in there. So we'll even it out a bit.
Well, you know, we got to give you a couple of the one-liners that we heard from the TSN broadcast. And see, you let us, you know, watching the reaction to the Ticats picking a tight end, a position that we really don't have in the CFL. But the one line from Dwayne Ford that just absolutely floored me, and I'd never heard this. And Dwayne Ford, of all people, coming up with it, the offensive lineman from Maine that went in the first round, he described him as an absolute road grader. Everything in his path just gets smoothed out on the ground. I'm stealing that one and using that one. And then the other one came from Davis Sanchez. And Matthew Cause actually put it in his article on CFL.ca. He says, Davis Sanchez, before the Argos first round pick, when I think of sexy, I think John Murphy. Sexy and John Murphy, they go together like milk and cereal.
These are some good lines.
And then we picked an offensive lineman.
Yeah, exactly.
As is tradition.
And I think it threw everybody off. I love that road grader line, though. I'm gonna have to use that one too. That's Liam Dobson is the lineman that he's describing out of Maine. And yeah, he's a bulldozer. He's just a giant machine. Because I think he weighs as much as Doc Stater does, but he's like half a foot shorter.
So. Yeah, he's 6'3", 340 pounds.
Yeah, he's a large man, and he can move. So yeah, that's a guy you don't mind lead blocking for you, and Murphy and sexy like cereal and milk. There you go.
Well, you know it is in tradition. The Argos make a sexy pick as an offensive lineman. So, Ben, we want to thank you for joining us and educating us on these draft picks that the Argos had, because, well, you are a smarter man than us when it comes to this.
Well, you guys definitely, as I say every time, you guys know way more about the Argos than I do. So anytime I can come on here and give something back to you, then I'm absolutely going to take advantage of it. But I think those opportunities are few and far between, because I don't think my Argos knowledge rivals yours yet. So I'm working on it.
Well, we do have Will. He is a human encyclopedia. So you know, he balances us out a little bit better.
Well, thanks so much for having me on, guys. I really appreciate it. All the best. And let's hope we get to talk soon, because we've got games to talk about.
Yes. Yes.
100%. Absolutely.
All the best, guys. Take care.
Thanks.
Thanks.
All right. And that was Ben Grant from the X's and Argos and Canadian Football Perspective, CF Perspective, the Marshall Ferguson-led venture.
5 days a week. They have a podcast every weekday.
Yeah, and you can check out more of Ben's stuff on the X's and Argos site, as well as CF Perspective. And lots of great insight. This is game film reviews and everything on there. Great addition to that team. Now,
but we have an Argos knowledge. He has an actual football knowledge.
Yes.
So that's how it balances. That's how this balances all out.
Yeah. And you know, when we need perspective on player specifics and game stuff, where do we go? Ben Grant. Because, you know, we know that we're not the experts on everything. So might as well bring in the experts. Wow, switching gears. We are going to go south of the border to Seattle, I believe, where he's based out of, from the Markcast, an XFL podcast, to give us his take on this symbiotic relationship, if you will, of our two leagues, is Reed Johnson.
You say shifting gears. We're going to throw the drive shaft out of this fucker. I'll be back in a sec. I have to hit the head really quick.
Joining us from the Markcast, an XFL podcast, is Reed Johnson. Welcome to the Argos Fancast.
Thank you. I'm very glad. Very recently rebranded now to the Markcast. We were the XFL Markcast, and then we teased the CFL Markcast. And yes, and now we're just going to be the Markcast. We cover spring league and fan control football and stuff too. So we were already running into challenges even before all the CFL stuff.
And one thing we always like to do with for our listeners when we have new guests on is, where can they find you online?
Absolutely. So we are themarkcast.com. On Twitter, it's the_markcast. On Facebook, everything else. But it's the Markcast, and that should be good. Anywhere. Like I said, we were the XFL Markcast forever. We were the XFLshow.com forever. But we've just been running into so many issues just covering other leagues, even before the spring, even before CFL. So we just decided, let's just keep it clean, and we'll just be the Markcast. So.
All right. Now, you did mention you kind of covered the CFL. You've got your video up here. I know our when we replay this, our listeners aren't going to be able to see this, but you've got a CFL hat on your head.
I do.
Who do you have on your head right now?
I know, and I feel like I'm walking into enemy territory with the Toronto Argonauts now. To be fair, Paul, my co-host, has pledged his allegiance to the Argonauts for this season. We felt that it was because we're all in on this, right? I mean, XFL, CFL, regardless, right? We are in on football. We covered fan control football all through the winter here in America. We've covered spring league back last fall, and now it's currently on right now as we record this kind of May season of that. So we're all in on everything. And so we really wanted to put our money where our mouths are. We did a whole segment last week on the show. I picked Edmonton as our team, the Edmonton, to be named. I really like that. I'm a Washington football team. People that follow the NFL teams will know that Washington football also does not have a nickname right now because of the Redskins and all of that. So that really appealed to me. We had Dave Campbell on our show before, color analyst for the Edmonton team. And there's a lot of XFL talent going to the CFL this year with Taylor Cornelius and Jamie Elizondo going to coach. And so I thought that was, it just made a lot of sense. So yes, I had an Edmonton, today was the first day I wore the Edmonton hat on the show when we recorded our podcast.
Well, none of us are perfect, to be perfectly honest, but I mean, but let's put it this way. We like you a lot better as if you picked Hamilton, then we would probably be hitting disconnect right now. preceded by a whole whack of insults. So Edmonton is perfectly fine. They're just pretenders to our Grey Cup throne.
And like I said, Paul's an Argonauts fan. He said that Paul is a Yankees fan. Paul grew up on the East Coast, and he feels like you guys are very similar to the Yankees with the prestige and the titles and everything. So I mean, we're a split company on it. But yes, you have very much support from the Markcast with the Toronto Argonauts.
We'll take it.
All right. Now getting into, the reason we've brought you on here, the XFL and the CFL announced that they're going to talk. And that just kind of fueled all kinds of speculation and, reading into this and that. Is there going to be a merger? Is You know, are they going to share players? What's going on? Is the CFL going to trash all the Canadian rules? Or is the XFL going to adopt all Canadian rules? What is the sense down in the States that, you know, this CFL-XFL relationship is going to blossom?
Absolutely. And, you know, and I always preface this, you know, we are not insiders, right? I'm not, you know, Dave Naylor or somebody that knows. But, you know, we talk with, you know, whatever the XFL media is, as Arash Madani came on our show and asked, what are the XFL media? You know, what do they cover? You know, we covered a season of the league and then, you know, the preseason of this, what's going on with the purchase. I have always been told, and my gut feeling from everything, from, you know, all the people that we talk to, we have Mike Mitchell, we're with XFL News Hub, which is kind of, I would consider the kind of the peak XFL news media. Like I said, we're just kind of with them. We're not, we're hosted by them, right? So they do their own thing and we're hosted on their site. I have been always told it's one league and one rule book. I don't know what that league looks like and I don't know what that rule book looks like, but that is what I have been told from the beginning, and that is what I believe has not changed in the, you know, however many months now that we've been kind of doing this dance.
Now I have to mention this little quote-unquote debate you had with Arash Madani.
Our duel.
Yeah, your duel at 20 paces. He really came off as a smug bastard. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, we Argo fans really consider him persona non grata because he has had a gripe against us for, what, 10 years plus, Clay?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, ever since the Rodgers bought the Jays, right? And he works for Rodgers, and well, you could put two and two together with that. But I mean, you really did hold your own against him, despite him throwing out every single, like, I kind of considered it kind of childish name calling kind of thing, calling the XFL the twice failed league, considering that the reason why it failed twice is because of the man who was at the very front of it, Vince McMahon. So that's pretty much what I have. That's pretty much what I have to say about that. I thought you guys did an incredible job there.
Well, I appreciate that. No, and you know, the funny thing about that is, and believe me, we were going back with people last night online about that, you know, just this week. I don't have any money in anything, right? I mean, I'm a wedding videographer that has a podcast that covers the XFL and alternate football leagues. So, you know, when you ask me to come on and like defend the XFL, I can do that, but I don't have any say in that. I don't have any skin in the game, right? And it's clear that Arash very much has skin in the game with Rodgers and with the Blue Jays. And, you know, maybe let's not have the CFL be so strong and let's maybe not push this narrative where, you know, you see like Dave Naylor, Farhan's been on our show a couple weeks ago. You know, the people that are employed by TSN very much want that this merger or whatever is going to prop up the CFL, where, yes, it's definitely, like you said, in Arash's interest to let's maybe cool those jets a little bit. And we knew some of that going into the debate or duel. And then believe me, you know, we've definitely had our ear full of insights afterward. But yeah, I don't feel like I don't need to defend anything, right? I mean, we came on and it's a joke, but yeah, you know, if you had asked me, would I rather take the position of defending the CFL or the XFL? I would probably choose the CFL, right? I feel like there's a lot more you can defend, I mean, across the board, right, from the CFL than you could the XFL. I mean, I feel like, you know, you're giving me a losing hand and then telling me, okay, go with this. And that's fine. You know, I'm happy to play along.
And one thing I think that it seems to be lost on at least some of these reporters is this isn't necessarily about, you know, one league being better or taking over the other. It's more about growing football, right? You know, the XFL has a place. There are still tons of players that want to play this game. And same thing in the CFL. There's enough players to go around. And, you know, from the get-go, I mean, you said the people you've talked to said one rule book, one league. You know, I think that's a little ways out. But from the stuff that I heard, it just seemed like they were their visions visions for football globally aligned together. They, you know, the Redbird and The Rock came out and said they want to look at, you know, players globally or around the world, which the CFL is, you know, very, very predominantly doing. XFL is doing it very much on the down low, the NFL is doing it very much on the down low. But it just seems like the visions for football just align right now, and it makes sense.
100%. And we had Derek Taylor today on with the Rough Riders. Our episode goes tomorrow, so I'm sure our episode will be live by the time this goes on. But, you know, that's what we talked with Derek about, is we said, you know, what are you guys saying the CFL needs to do? You know, build in the ground roots, reach out to the fans, get people involved. The XFL, you know, get away with all the Rock, and, you know, we can make fun of, you know, Young Rock getting 2.36 million viewers and the CFL draft getting 56,000 viewers, right? And we can talk about the reach of the Rock. That doesn't matter. The XFL ultimately is the same as the CFL. It's a grassroots built. We had fan events. We had, you know, come see your season ticket, pick your seat, come in, be involved in this. You know, Jim Zorn, our president, which was a Seahawk legend, you know, coming to the fan meet and greets, things that the CFL is trying to do. Ultimately, there's really, you know, you can strip away Rock, Danny, Vince. I said today, you know, he hate me, all these other things to get involved in this. The XFL is a grassroots football league that wants to grow community support the same way the CFL does. I mean, they really are aligned in that way.
Now, going back over to the one rule book thing, you know, there are a lot of the we call them the old guard up here that are very upset that, you know, there's talk about maybe changing some of the rules, and that, you know, it's an evolution. The rules are always changing regardless of what you think happened 20 years ago, 40 years ago, whatever. It's going to be different in 20 years. Now, I want to know, of the rules that the knowledge, you know, the CFL, the rules that you see here, what some of the rules that you would want to see kept in the game that are uniquely Canadian?
Absolutely. And I'll speak as well for my co-host, Paul. I mean, we are very much in solidarity in this. And honestly have been since the beginning. We've always said the CFL has the game and the lineage. The XFL has the Rock and the money and the U.S. kind of entry with Redbird and all these other things. I do ultimately think that it is going to be a four-down game. I don't agree with that. We don't. I think you want to be as non-NFL light as you can be. And I think embracing the uniqueness of the three downs with the CFL, with the motion, you know, I don't really love the field goals in the front, you know, but the extended end zones, things like that, making it as different as you can while still ultimately being football, to me and Paul, is, I think, going to be your best success. I don't like the NFL light that the XFL was anyway. I mean, we're already dealing with this, right? And that's what's, I guess, so frustrating for us as XFL fans is we get into these debates a lot with the CFL guys, and I get it, right? You feel like, okay, America, everyone cares about the NFL. They don't care about the CFL. You know, screw you guys. You know, this is our game, whatever. That's a lot of what the XFL fans feel. And I know that we don't have the 100 years behind whatever to feel that way, but we very much are all kind of that, feel like that redheaded stepchild sometimes, right? And so, yeah, I mean, at this point, I'm not saying, you know, one is better than the other, but I do think that, you know, 1 + 1 is going to equal way more than 2 with both leagues coming together. But yeah, we would absolutely, the Mark Cast would like to keep three downs 100% and a lot of the other Canadian rules.
Well, as far as you, from my perspective, the three downs, as much as you, I love it, it's not the hill that I'm going to die on. To me, one of the things that I see that I love is the motion. the motion, the waggle, the it's a lot of what the NFL went and picked out a lot of the ways that we were our coaches changed the game. And you see a lot of the CFL 20 years ago in the NFL right now as far as style of play with their rules. But that motion is one of the things that I think is just, you cannot, that's a hill that I will die on. If you cut the motion out, I mean, I'm not going to, it's football. I'm going to watch it. I'm still going to be a fan, but that is something that I think is an absolute non-negotiable. You have to keep that motion in there.
Yeah, I think as many elements as we can incorporate in the CFL game, I do think it's going to lead to more success. I really do. I don't think it is. The motion, things like that, I don't know. I think three downs is tough to sell in America, but I would keep as many of the things as we can. I'm afraid it's not. And if they don't, I've told many people I will be right there with you. Lambasting or, being, we tend to be very outspoken on the Markcast about things that we don't agree with any league. Right. And I will be right there with you guys if they change too much in that way that, we don't have any allegiance to anything at all, except, the players and having a platform for them to, find success.
Now, the other thing that I thought of recently that I wanted to pose to you is, do you think there might be the opportunity to have something like what Major League Baseball has in, the National League? You have, a few rules that are just slightly different than the AL, and you have ballparks that are sometimes bigger, sometimes smaller, little bit quirky things like, because we know the CFL field is not going to fit in most NFL stadiums. You could probably make it fit in a lot of them, but you'd lose your sidelines completely. And the safety issue with players running full speed and all that. But could you ever see, a venture where, you kind of have, slight differences between the, if we go to a merger and we have the CFL and the XFL and the Mexican LFA threw their hat into the ring saying they are interested, in having these little intricacies. And you talk about, maybe interleague play a little bit here and there, but you still predominantly within your own leagues. I mean, does that sound intriguing as far on your side?
Yeah, and honestly, what's so funny about that is from the second this came about, that's what everyone said, right? Like, well, can't you just do, it's like the DH, right? You have sometimes you have the hitter and sometimes the pitcher. And we're part of the writers group for the XFL News Hub. We're on like a Discord chat, whatever. And everyone on there is like, no, that would never work. The games are too different. Just last week on our show, we had a listener send in, a very angry listener, in fact, on our YouTube that was infuriated that we hadn't talked about it yet. These supposed exhibition games that happened in the 50s between the NFL and the CFL, where they did American rules the first half and then CFL rules the second half. And I was like, as no one, and I looked it up, it's on Three Down Nation, and I said on the show, I go, has this been staring at us in our face the entire time, the solution? And everyone said, no, you can never do it. And I understand it was an exhibition game or whatever. And my joke was, and I don't have the article up right now, but the joke that I said, and bear with me, but the NFL teams ended up winning 8-2, I guess, in like that series of exhibition games. And I said, maybe that's why the CFL doesn't want us to know about that, is because we'll roll over and, we'll kill them. But no, I mean, that's what they did. I guess they did that back in the 50s. I don't have the, I can pull up the article or send it, but they did that. And I think it was the Giants and the Bombers or whatever, but there was a whole series of them, and they did American rules the first half, Canadian rules the second half. And I had never heard of it, and Paul hadn't either. So.
Well, I knew that they were doing that. They did like kind of crossover games like that, 'cause I know Toronto was in most of them, and unfortunately, they got their clocks clean most of the time, and then all of a sudden Hamilton decides, oh, we'll play one game, and they end up winning, and that's like the only win. It's like, oh, for God's sakes, really? Why them? Couldn't have been anybody else. But anyway, that's neither here nor there.
But you know, it's funny that this is something that was very much poo-pooed on from like these football. You know, we're the Mark cast, right? We talk about Young Rock. We talk about, you know, Zoa energy drinks. We do a lot of stuff. We do football. But you know, here's these guys that have covered, you know, football for 30 years. Oh, this would never work. It's like, well, actually, it kind of did. I mean, I'm not saying that that's the perfect solution, but that is a solution, and they did do it before.
How is Zoa, by the way? I'm curious.
It's good. We trick it every week on the podcast. It's like it tastes like Monster Energy. I used to drink a lot of Monster Energy in college. It's fine. You get it shipped. It's not the least expensive energy drink in the world, but it's okay.
Oh, okay.
There, I guess it's selling a boatload though. I just saw that they're with Coors Miller. I guess is you know, Miller Lite and all that, and Coors
It's Molson Coors up here. Yeah, so.
Yeah, they're distributing that, and it's gonna account. We have the article up. You know, tons and tons of money from that. Very high selling. That's the thing. I mean, people question The Rock and the XFL. You know, Young Rock was just renewed for season 2. You know, Danny Garcia just launched a female brand of clothing this week. They have the Terramana. They have the Zoa. I mean, you know, these are people that they ask. Okay, well, what does The Rock know about running the football league? Nothing, but The Rock can hire people that know how to run a football league. Vince McMahon didn't know how to run the XFL, and he hired Oliver Luck. And what did everybody say about XFL, you know, in 2019, 2020? Oh, Oliver Luck was the best thing that ever happened. Well, it wasn't Vince running the league. You know, Vince just had the foresight to hire somebody.
Yeah, it's not like the first time around. That was the one gripe. That was the one gripe. It's like, I actually enjoyed the XFL the first go around. But what threw me off was when they had Jim Ross and Jesse Ventura doing commentary.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, Jim Ross, I can see because back then I didn't know this, but I didn't know that Jim Ross had like a huge background with the Oklahoma Sooners. Oh. I had no idea back then. But
no, I think he even called some games for the Falcons at one point too.
Well, I thought there was Tony Schiavone who did that. Oh, no, Tony Schiavone does the Georgia Bulldogs. Yeah, that's who he does. But anyway, so anyway, back to whole Jim Ross and Jesse Ventura thing. I'm like, I'm here to watch a football game. If I wanted to watch a wrestling match, I'd tune in on Monday and watch Raw.
Got a little too gimmicky. So
yeah, so that's what kind of threw me off in that. But yeah,
and you know, we have to thank the XFL in the first incarnation because. There's a couple of players that came out of the XFL that ended up being pretty good in the CFL. John Avery, for one of them, was you know, decent with the Argos and you know played well in Edmonton as well, and he came out pretty good. And we had a coach that took us to a Grey Cup, Scott Milanovich, who won the inaugural XFL championship with the LA Extreme. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's anybody saying it's lesser, like you can't discount what came out of that.
Well, you also have to thank the original XFL for the Skycam that the NFL uses to this day.
That was
the XFL. But I mean, everyone is just, you couldn't watch an NFL game now and not expect that. And that was part of the original XFL. So it's not all bad. We're not all bad.
We only get Skycam for playoffs and Grey Cup. We don't get it all the time. Cheap ass TSN.
Well, Reed, we want to thank you for joining us on the Fancast. And once again, since first time on the show, you got to let everybody know once again where they can find you.
Absolutely. No, I really appreciate it. Like I said, I mean, the biggest thing that if I could have anybody listening to this could take away today is the XFL, our fans are very much open to anything. And you can say that right or wrong, because I've had that criticized too, right? Well, you don't have anything to stand for. Did that? You know, because we're playing with house money now, right? You know, the XFL came back, you know, COVID, all the stuff, you know, went away, bankruptcy, whatever. You know, I remember to this day waking up with the news that The Rock bought the league back in August. You know, it was like a Monday. I woke up at 6 a.m. and I see this guy post a, hey, did you just hear The Rock bought the XFL? I'm like, oh, this Mark, like, what is this guy talking about, right? You know, and it was all real. And so, you know, we are very much playing with house money right now. And so we, XFL fans, I speak for everybody because we are, you know, it's not a high bar. I would say we are the most listened to XFL podcast right in the States. It's a very low bar to have, but we do have that bar. And our fans very much embrace anything going on because of the house money. So the XFL fans are not the enemies in any of this, right? Now, ultimately, powers that be make, you know, ask to change the rules, things like that. But we are just open to football. That our listeners right now are watching the Spring League, are watching everything else. You know, we just want football. And so whatever that ends up being, you have a lot of people in America that are very excited about your product and are going to be watching it this year for the first time ever because of all of these talks. So if nothing else, that is only going to be a positive for everybody, right? For the players and podcasters and broadcasters and everybody involved in this, right? It's only going to raise all those levels. And so I just, you know, the XFL is not the enemy. That was the podcast title we had a couple weeks ago. And I really feel that we are not, you know, things that may come of this may not be good, but it is not our doing.
I agree. You know, football is football, and you know, there's. I don't think any one of us on our show and you know Will who's away today, but all of us, you know, are intrigued and you know kind of excited about you know what could come of this, and I. You know, yeah, some things can you can have some negatives, but I can only see the positives outweigh any of the negatives that are possible with this. So I'm glad that this is going on. I'm excited about this, and well, now got somebody down there to give us some insight, and well, you're a fan just like us, so.
To answer your question, themarkcast.com and at themarkcast on Twitter. I don't think I actually ended up plugging anything when you asked me to do that, but no.
You had an awesome impassioned speech. We weren't going to interrupt it. Yeah. So.
Absolutely not.
Cutting my promo. But no, I mean, and we're always down to a chat. I've said with everybody online, I'm down to talk. Same with Arash, with anybody. I'm down to have a talk with anybody that's informed and passionate about it. I just, the only thing I say no to is, you know, crap talkers or you know, naysayers that don't have a solution, right? When we post something and they go, I hate the XFL, whatever. I don't have anything to do with that, right? If you have a educated take that you want to have a conversation with me, I welcome any of that at all, and I know that Paul does too.
Thank you very much for joining us, Reed. We're glad to have you, and we're definitely going to have you back on at some point. You know, if not you or your co-host, and we'll definitely be listening to your show as well.
We appreciate it. Yeah, no, thank you so much for reaching out. I really do appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Reed. You have a good night.
Cool. Thanks, guys.
Thank you very much.
Thanks. Thanks for coming, Reed.
Yep.
And that was Reed Johnson from the MarkCast, the XFL, just pretty much American football podcast, focusing on the XFL. But, I mean, I guess it's Spring League, fan-controlled league. I mean, in pretty much anything football down there. Glad to have him. And I love his attitude about this. I absolutely love it.
Oh yeah, you know? Absolutely. I mean, like he's got the same kind of passion that you and I both do. And I mean, he's right. Like XFL fans aren't the enemy in this. Clay and I know who the enemies are with regards to this, but the XFL fans aren't. So you don't have to go off on them all the time saying, "Oh, you're trying to kill our league." No. People have already decided that MLS and E is the bigger enemy, and I've got a much bigger gripe with that. But like there are enemies that are more poisonous toward the CFL than the whole idea of talking or a merger or whatever the hell is going to be coming out of this.
Yeah, and I can't fault anything that you just said there. It's you know, if you're not going to have that, you know, back and forth conversation, intelligent conversation, then there's no point in having that conversation. You know, as Reed said, you know, the guys are just going to come up and say XFL sucks. He's just going to leave it, walk away from that conversation. No point. There is no conversation to be had. You know, whereas you want the guys that, okay, we're talking. Okay, let's come up with a solution. You know, where does this go? You know, how does this look? You know, he talks to people. We talk to people. It's good to get different perspectives and figure out exactly how we move forward. It adds football fans, period.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that's all I gotta say. Just like, I can't speak any more to that. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, since you know, he's got Spring League to watch, just finished the Fan Control Football League a couple months ago. We've got some news about, well, the CFL had some news back at the end of April about their return to play plan for 2021. They gave a revised target start date of August 5th to facilitate a 14-game schedule, with the Grey Cup to be held in on December 12th in a hole. It's actually a nice stadium, it's in that place down the QEW.
Okay. I know. All right. Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah. The Parkhead of Southern Ontario.
And they, with their return to play plan, they you know, are saying, okay, everything's essentially fluid because it's all subject to the state of COVID-19 across the country. And, you know, we are in the third wave, and, you know, there are some provinces handling it a little bit better than others.
A lot better than others.
But what recently came out within the last couple of days is now all six provinces that have CFL teams have approved the framework. At least, so, I mean, we've got the go-ahead to start, obviously depending on the state of COVID and what, you know, things need to happen, but at least we can really look forward to a start of the CFL season, hopefully. I've got my first dose of the vaccine. Will got his first dose. I know have you had yours? Are you booked?
No, I've had mine already. I got mine, when was it? 2-3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
It was mid-April when I had mine.
Yeah. So, you know, we're ready to go. And,
I know my second shot's going to be sometime. It's going to be early August. So pretty much just in time for the CFL season to start.
Yeah. I'm looking at August 19th right now. So I'm a little bit later, so I may miss a couple games. Mm-hmm. But the other, caveat with this is allowing fans into the stadiums, and, you know, some, like, they're all the provinces are really saying, you know, depending on how COVID is at that point, you know, we can let some in, maybe vaccinated people only. Who knows what it's going to look like? But all the provinces have really pretty much said, as far as fans go, leave it till the absolute last minute, because that's when we're going to be able to give you a more educated decision, as opposed to we can't tell you right now.
So I'm thinking we're going to hear about whether or not this is going to get pushed back even further or whatever, probably by like July 15th.
Yeah, you know what? With the way things are going, and I don't, you know, Alberta, it's a different story. But you know, in Ontario, you know, our numbers are kind of leveling off. I wouldn't say they're dropping; they're not increasing a lot, but we are getting people vaccinated, so that's going to play a big part in this.
Well, if you don't mind, I'm going to give you some numbers right now. I'm going to plug a website here. It's called howsmyflattening.ca. Now, this is for Ontario only, mind you, because this was made by an Ontario-based doctor. And basically, it's really cool because it gives you all the data for the entire province of Ontario. So I've already been to this site, and I've already got not only my home region, but the other three big regions, so Hamilton, Ottawa, and Toronto. And, the transmission rate is dropping, which is great. The case incidence is mostly dropping, but I think the bigger number is the ICU number, and I think that's what they're looking at right now. So basically, we got to see that ICU number drop, and I think it did drop a smidgen, I would dare say. I think I know in Ontario we had like 800 or 879 people in the ICU right now, which is goddamn ridiculous to begin with. But yeah, where is it? We're not even talking just straight COVID patients either. Like this is
there's everybody
who's in the ICU right now. So, but
yeah.
And Ontario's given out 5.7 million doses of the vaccine out of a possible 15 million. So we're a third of the way there on the first dose, which is great. And actually 46.16% of eligible population had their first dose. So we're getting there. It's gonna take time, and we still got a couple months yet. Like right now we're just in May. So we've still got really 2 months more to go. And I know the federales, they've said, 75% first dose and then 20% of the population need to have the second dose in order for them to say, okay, we're going to start lifting restrictions now. So that's probably the way Ontario is going to go as well. At least that's what I figure. And I'm hoping that number comes sooner rather than later because I want to go to a football game.
Yes, I really want to go to a football game. Watch football, cheer, scream, yell. Even if I have to do it from behind my mask, I will just be a little bit louder.
Yeah, exactly. So no horns. So this is where the cowbell is going to have to come into play. Can't blow because we won't be able to blow a horn anymore. But we can still wave flags at the very least. We can still sing and cheer. Still bang a cowbell, but no wind instruments.
Yeah. And the fact that we went into to numbers and specifics, especially you and I, you know, looks at how serious this situation is, because you know when you look at the serious data of anything that we cover, that's usually Will's department. When we're both talking about it, you know that's a big deal. So you know, if you're on the fence and you want to watch football, go get vaccinated.
Go go get your shot. Don't worry about 5G control because Clay and our reception is just fine. Will is gonna get his soon enough.
My Windows update is coming soon. Bill Gates promised me that. I heard him in my little chip the other day.
Yeah, exactly. So the mind control isn't that bad of a thing. So you don't gotta worry about that too.
It's Microsoft Mind Control. It errors out all the time, so you're pretty much good doing well on your own.
Yeah, exactly. Don't worry. It'll blue screen of death, and you'll be fine.
Yeah, just restart. You'd be good. It gives you that excuse to just stare blankly at somebody and go, "Oh, sorry, I had to reboot." You know, it actually has a lot of benefits.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's been a month Do we have a 3-minute warning?
All right, gentlemen, you have 3 minutes, and you better make it good.
3 minutes and we're out of here. We got 3 minutes and we're out. Is this thing on?
Yeah.
Are you hearing it?
Yes, we do, and it's actually there's a couple of things. First of all, it's compliments to Mr. Adam Kruger and the team and the social media team at the Toronto Argos, kicking ass and taking names like they always do. On draft day, they came out with perhaps one of the best meme templates you could ever come up with. It's just Pinball sitting in front of a whiteboard, and the memes have been running wild ever since that's been posted. I've been looking at things like even the Argos got in on that act, which is even funnier.
What they put out there was it trolled just about every other fan base in itself.
Yeah.
It was beautiful. You think some independent person is going to come up with, you know, the best one that you've seen. For the team that put this out there to come up with, if not the winner, at least a definite contender for the winner. I don't know if anybody hasn't seen it. It's the whiteboard has the word salary cap with an X in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That I loved because every single amateur accountant from the west side of the country has been all over us for signing everybody under the sun. And well, yeah, that was just great. Absolutely great.
All right. Is there one that stood out to you?
There was one that Steve did, like our friend Steve. The one that I can just pull. Oh, just give me a second. I gotta pull it up because I can't exactly find it at the moment. I didn't exactly save it, but I did retweet it. But I can't remember where. I can't remember exactly what it said. Just bear with me for a second. Ah, here it is. Oh, good, he pinned it. Exactly what he said. So our good friend Steve said, I'm just going to pin this for a while. The last few months have been eye opening as an Argos fan, and it just said this: trashing the Argos because of their attendance does not make you a better fan of your team or the CFL. It just makes you an asshole. All the rest of them are funny, but this one is not only funny, but it's really truthful.
Yeah, it is. Although I don't think Mr. Clemens would be using the word asshole, but the font that he did use, I could seriously see Pinball Clemens writing notes that neatly on a whiteboard. That makes sense to me.
Yeah, totally. But I mean, it's a meme. It's not meant to make sense. Memes aren't meant to make sense at all, right? So even though we all think Mr. Clemens wouldn't say the word asshole, I'm pretty sure he would draw. I'm pretty sure, like at least to us, I'm almost positive he would do it in the locker room. I'm almost positive of that.
I don't know. I've heard him drop an F-bomb once, and that blew me away. So,
because the thing is, you don't expect it, right? There's certain people that you hold to a much higher pedestal with regards to language. You know what I mean? Pinball Clemens is one of those people where if you hear him swear, You know, it's really got, like, he's got to be really fired up and really riled up for that to happen.
Yeah. And yeah, like, when Pinball speaks, honestly, He speaks in cursive. It's usually so eloquent, and he may not use, you know, million-dollar words all the time. I mean, he does at times, but he doesn't use them all the time. But almost everything he says just sounds better. You know, he could probably go into a cancer ward and tell people they're not going to recover, and they would thank him. Like, it just, everything just sounds motivating coming out of his mouth.
Hmm.
All right, what else we got?
And really, I mean, the only other thing, and this kind of goes more into the serious side, but I just saw this on Reddit when I got home from work, and I'm kind of asking myself this question here. Is TSN hurting the CFL? Well, let me go into it. It said, 41 posts last week on TSN's Instagram about the NFL, draft and random stories included. CFL draft was Tuesday, and the only thing they posted is someone else's video of the first overall pick reacting and a first-round recap. I'm not counting the post about Chuba Hubbard being drafted by the Stamps because he's obviously going to the NFL, which he did sign a 4-year deal with the Panthers, so there you go. Absolutely nothing on their stories either. Before that, the last one was on April 21st when the CFL said that their season start date is in August. The next one prior to that was April 13th about the Hall of Fame class. He said, this is a complete joke, especially considering the CFL is 1, Canadian, 2, they have exclusive rights to it, and 3, with how much it's struggling right now, a boost of new fans would help so much with potential growth of the league. Both their Instagram and Twitter accounts have over 820,000 followers each that they could use to help a new generation of fans discover the game we all love so much. There are more posts about Justin Bieber than there are about the CFL. Like, at this point, I feel like TSN is actively hurting the CFL by ignoring it and pushing literally everything but it. They push so much NFL content, which is what it is, but there is absolutely no reason the CFL should be taking a backseat to literally every other thing, sport or not sport related, imaginable. It makes me curious to see what would happen if Rogers or Sportsnet acquired the rights and how they would treat the league. Plus, we get Chris Cuthbert back, double fire emoji. Am I alone in this? That opens a can of worms up, doesn't it?
Yes. I'm trying to stay calm. This.
No shovels to the head, Clay.
You know, over the last little bit, people involved with social media for TV stations and some have lost sight that, yes, you're there to push content. You're also there to push what your TV station is airing. By leaving things out like that, by actively ignoring the fact that, you know, the CFL is Canadian when you do your questions about who is your team, you're losing sight of what your primary purpose at the company is. Your secondary purpose is to create your own following as is, but your primary purpose is to promote what's on your TV channels, promote what's on your website.
And I haven't even gotten into the whole TSN 1050 fiasco. which does require a shovel to the head, by the way.
At least one.
Yeah.
If not 38. It's an arbitrary number, but it just seems right.
Keep going till you get tired.
Yeah, and then not to mention, you know, their other CTV's other avenues where they have actively made mistakes, like flat out mistakes in information about the league. You know, on CP24, they declared Hamilton was the 2019 Grey Cup champions.
And, you know, I'm surprised Three Down Nation didn't run with that. I'm also surprised that the Hamilton fans didn't come out of the woodwork saying, yeah, we won the cup, we won the cup. I'm like, that's the only way you would win it, if it was a figment of someone's imagination and a typo. Hashtag choking hazard.
But it just kind of goes to the fact that, you know, the people there have literally just, okay, well, CFL didn't air last year, so we're just not going to do anything. It didn't exist as far as we're concerned.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have cable television. Clay, I'm pretty sure you do. When you were watching TSN, did they run any ads at all for draft coverage?
No.
Didn't think so.
You got a couple plugs on SportsCenter, but that's about it.
Yeah, they didn't run any sort of ad saying who's going to be on, like the next generation of Canadian football talent. No, they didn't
not
have that.
Not that I saw, anyway.
Yeah, I mean, based off of basically, we're just calling it as we see it. I mean, other people could see differently, but I know we're calling it as we see it here.
Yeah.
The way I'm looking at it right now, TSN was great when they took over the TV from CBC. They were stellar back then, but the only real change that they've made was when they switched from analog to HD signal. That was it.
I think they've tried little bits here and there to improve their presentation, but they've probably done stuff behind the scenes that we don't know. But what's coming out of TSN lately is that they don't want this product.
That's what it seems like anyway. That, you know, they're quite frankly they're taking advantage of it. They quite frankly are taking advantage of it.
And I to be honest, like, I don't know why it hasn't been an issue. Like, you pay a lot of money for this product.
And like, quite frankly, they should be paying a lot more for this product, in my opinion.
You know, and you have the people at the top just not seeing anything about, you know, okay, why are things gotten stagnant as far as ratings go?
You know, why are ratings declining? B, why haven't you guys really done anything to improve the look of the product?
Yeah.
I mean, we've always been here. We've always provided the show. I mean, you take a look at Fox. They, like, improve their graphics package every, what, year to 2 years?
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that they actually have live stats, I think that's Fox who has that, who actually has the live stats. Like, of the quarterback, during a down.
Okay, that is freaking cool, though.
That is cool. That is awesome. I think that would be absolutely awesome to get that.
You know, and the TSN, you know, okay, yeah, I can see. Okay, you covered the first round of the CFL draft, and that's about it. But you didn't even have a draft ticker.
Number one, there was no draft ticker. There was no draft clock, from my understanding.
You know, it used to be the when they would update the CFL graphics package, that would drive the graphics package for the rest of the network.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when they update the graphics package for the network, yeah, CFL can have it too. Right? I don't know what it is, but it feels like they've, you know, it feels like they're got the impression good enough. That's good enough. Just leave it. It's fine.
That'll do.
Yeah.
Right.
And I don't care what business you're in. That's a bad attitude to have.
I mean,
I hate that attitude.
I mean, the whole that'll do attitude. I mean, I know of car companies who've done that. Those car companies no longer exist.
Yeah.
British Leyland being the most famous of them. The makers of the original Mini and the original Jaguar.
Yep.
They no longer exist. Why? Because those in the factories in Longbridge in the UK said a lot of times, "Oh, that'll do." Oh yeah, that door doesn't fit on this. That door doesn't fit, right? I'll just smack it into place with a hammer. That'll do.
Yeah.
Well, the drive line is really vibrating. I'll just weld on a couple of weights. That'll do.
Yeah. TSN, do better.
Be better.
I think I hate ending on a, you know, on an angry note.
So let me try and, okay, let's see here. Find something. See if we can find something happy. Let's see. It's a lot of bleakness.
You know what?
Mm.
You know what? And I'm going to pull this from the CFL's The Snap. There is a Vancouver-based YouTuber who has started adding... He did Minecraft stadiums for the Canadian Premier Soccer League. And he started adding the CFL fields to the stadiums as well.
Hmm.
So he's building these things in Minecraft, and dear God, they're gorgeous. I don't play Minecraft, but I'm looking at these things and like they're fantastic. He's done IG Field in Winnipeg. He's got TD Place in Ottawa. I believe he's got McMahon Stadium in Calgary. There's no way that, you know, these are easy and quick to set up. So the fact that he's starting to do these is just phenomenal.
Oh yeah, here he is. I was wondering. I couldn't remember what the channel was, but okay. I just want to see. I want to see because I haven't really watched any of these videos, so I want to see how accurate they are compared to what I've seen. Because I know there was a YouTuber I saw who made the home of Glasgow Rangers, Ibrox Stadium, and it was huge, and it was spectacular. Because it even had all the little nooks and crannies in it, too, which was amazing. So
well, see, he's. I mean, it's in, you know, the fact that he's doing this out of Minecraft. You know, with the what might. I mean, Minecraft is actually, people are doing pretty good, but when you look at, you know, what you can do with Minecraft, it's...
Oh, yeah. It's absolutely ridiculous what you can do in Minecraft.
But
absolutely, yeah, ridiculous.
Yeah, we've got, you know, just gonna say he's got McMahon Stadium. He's got... Burgos. He's got, IG Field, TD Place, Tim Hortons Field. So what he's done with the CFL fields, but
oh geez, okay, so he's even included the suites here too.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So if anybody's interested, this guy's YouTube name is Aaron A-A-R-O-N-A. That you can look him up on YouTube and see some of these fantastic looking stadiums. And I can't wait till he starts to post some more.
I'd love to see what he does with BMO.
BMO would look great.
BMO in Minecraft would look great because it is kind of a Mechanostat stadium to begin with. But I mean, hey,
hey. So I mean, you know, so was, you know, Tim Hortons Field is, you know, very steel. But the fact that you look at it, and he's got in IG Field, he's got the curved roof. And it's got so much detail that it you don't notice that it's, you know, blocks and a curve. Like it's really well done.
Yeah, I'm looking at that one right now. Yeah, you're right.
This almost makes me want to start playing Minecraft just so I can go and, you know, actually go and tour some of these stadiums that he's built to see exactly how detailed they really are.
I mean, realistically, it's the closest we can go to actually traveling to a stadium at this point anyway, mm-hmm. for the next couple of months, at the very least.
Yep. All right. Well, now that we've ended on a happy note, I guess that does it for the Argos Fancast this week. Want to thank Reed Johnson from the Markcast and Ben Grant from the X's and Argos and Canadian Football Perspective for giving us their thoughts on... Well, the XFL, CFL, and the CFL draft. Doug, where can they find you?
You can find me personally on Twitter at DougB519. You can find my group, the Double Blue Order, on Facebook at facebook.com/DoubleBlueOrder, on Twitter at Double Blue Order, and on Instagram at The Double Blue Order.
And you can find our absent co-host, Will, at ArgoFans. Or ArgoFans.com. Join the message board and chat with like-minded Double Blue fans and probably some non-Double Blue fans on there as well. You can find me at All Kinds of Clay on the Twitter and Instagram machines. And you can find the Argos Fancast at Argos Fancast. And anywhere you find your friendly neighborhood podcast, just search Argos Fancast. Pretty much anywhere you can get a podcast, search Argos Fancast. You can find us. We're there. That does it for the Argos Fancast this week. We'll talk to you when we've got more Argos news.